Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, this is the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. I want to wish God's blessings upon all of you who believe in him, and upon those of you who don't, well, the next time you take your next breath, or eat your next meal, or enjoy the next pleasurable thing in your life, take a moment and realize that he's blessing you anyways. So there. All right. Very ecumenical blessing. What do we have here? My extremely attractive audio engineer is going through the newspaper, as usual. While you're listening to my show, she's reading the newspaper. No. We've got John Elway on the cover of what?
I'm not reading paper.
Oh, you're not reading it?
Cutting coupons.
Oh, you're cutting coupons. We've got John Elway on the cover of redplum.com, the coupon insert. John Elway. He's dead to me. Take him away. So as we go to air tonight, I have no idea what happened in the big week four of the NFL season. I just don't know. And, well, I know that you care, so I don't want to disillusion anyone. I don't want to put anyone off by saying that I don't care. I just didn't happen to watch today any NFL games. If you did, God bless you. Even more ecumenical. Even if you're a Broncos fan, I wish God's blessings upon you. Now, we've got a lot of things going on in the world. The world is going insane all around us. But I want to start with news that I know will be of particular importance to this audience, to you, the Weekly Worldview demographic, as we go to air with the first word in conservative talk as we head into the coming week. I've got a story from the Daily Mail in London. Hold on to your hats. Shots were allegedly fired on Saturday night outside the taping of the BET Hip Hop Awards in Atlanta, Georgia. Shocking, I know. Shots allegedly fired. Apparently, rappers Young Jeezy and Rick Ross got into a fight. Let's see. The Daily Mail reports that the two performers exchanged heated words during the awards ceremony and started pushing each other. And one of them is a really big, fat, tattooed-covered freak. I wouldn't want him pushing me. I'm not sure if it's Young Jeezy or Rick Ross. Not being that familiar with the hip-hop trade, I know I should know more, because my target demographic has all of Young Jeezy's records. They've got Rick Ross posters in their teenage children's rooms. So I really should educate myself more. The two performers exchanged heated words. Let's see here. It's just disappointing in these fine young examples of the high point, the crest of the wave of Western civilization, Young Jeezy and Rick Ross. Very disappointing, especially for you young folks out there. I know. Let's see here. Young Jeezy was arrested back in 05 for carrying a concealed firearm without a permit and arrested again in 2008 for DUI, while Mr. Ross, if we can call him Mr. Ross, was arrested in 2008 for gun and marijuana charges and again in 2011 for the ever-popular possession of marijuana charge, which I think is a prerequisite to getting a hip-hop contract. You have to have at least one gun charge and at least one DUI or marijuana possession charge. Oh, late reports. This just in, TMZ reports. Oh, no, I'm sorry. TMZ reported everything I've brought to you up until now. MTV News is reporting that Rick Ross's protege, his name is Gunplay, was also involved in a fight with members of 50 Cent's G-Unit. His G-Unit. I have no idea who these people are. But I wanted to report that at the top, because we like to be in front of the big, big, big stories, the shocking stories, the stories that leave everyone shaking their heads, wondering why, How could that happen? Young Jeezy and Rick were such fine felons. No, I think these are all misdemeanors. I don't think they're felons yet, but they're well on their way. All right, we got the big story out of the way. Now let's go to some minor news on the periphery of the pop culture as the First Amendment collapses around the world. Of course, we only have it here in America, but it's under assault all over the world. A report from thesmokinggun.com. The producer of the controversial anti-Islam film, Innocence of Muslims, has been arrested. He was arrested by American federal authorities out in Southern California. And he's been ordered held without bond. And the judge rejected a plea from his lawyer. This guy has an interesting name. Nakula Basale Nakula is his name. And allegedly he's affiliated with Coptic Christians and he's been some kind of anti-Islamic preacher for some years. I would make note to Mohamed Morsi and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad over there in that part of the world. Let's see, where Morsi's in Egypt. Mahmoud is in Iran. I would just want to point out to them that there are thousands of anti-Islam preachers in America every day. Every day. We call it a cult. We call it a pagan religion. We call Mohammed a charlatan, a murderer, and a pedophile. It happens every Sunday, Mahmoud. Nakula, Basale Nakula, has been arrested, held without bond. The judge rejected a plea from Nakula's lawyer, who argued that his life would be in danger at an L.A. county jail due to the facility's large population of Muslim inmates. And the judge said, tough. I've been instructed by Hillary Clinton and Barry Ho to hold you in jail without bond. And if by chance you are killed in jail by a Muslim, we hope we have a camera there so we can start running ads on Egyptian television as early as this evening. Interesting part of this story, if that's not interesting enough. I mean, this guy was convicted of some type of bank fraud a few years back, and he's on probation. Now, typically, if you've got a drug dealer or a bank robber or a car thief who's on probation and there's an alleged probation violation, he's generally not perp walked in front of the cameras for all to see and thrown into prison without bail. And investigators, according to the Smoking Gun, investigators have not yet provided details about how exactly Nakula has allegedly violated his probation. But the Smoking Gun says it seems clear that in his involvement in this movie that nobody ever saw, and a movie that doesn't even exist. It's only a trailer. It's not even a movie as far as I know, as far as you know. Have you seen the movie? I haven't seen the movie. Well, they say it seems clear that his involvement in the movie production is central to the government's new charge. So they're going to charge him with it. I thought it was a parole violation. Now it seems clear that it's a new charge about, I don't know, defaming the holy prophet of Islam. Is that what this is about? Is this about the end of free speech in America? I mean, I was just reading an article earlier today about a Muslim cleric in Egypt who burned the New Testament today at a rally in Egypt. And last we checked, his home was not burned down, nor was his head removed from his shoulders by the Coptic Christians there in Egypt. It seems to me that there are people at the highest reaches of the American government who seem open to the idea of beginning a debate on whether or not we should pass laws against free speech, specifically defaming the holy prophet of Islam, Muhammad, Allahu Akbar, may Allah be munificent. I don't know how to end all that. I'm not that familiar. The Muslim demographic, I have not studied up on reaching the Muslim demographic. But there you have it. This is the outrage, perhaps of the century, that any American is open to entertaining ideas of instituting blasphemy laws. You know, we Christians, we're pretty confident in our religion. If you blaspheme my God, I just ask that you stand over there when you do it. Because I'm not going to get you. He's going to get you. And he's real. He doesn't need me to get you. If you blaspheme my God, well, you're on your own, buddy. I'm not going to come and burn your house down. I would be open to a healthy debate about the subject, but I don't have to resort to violence because my God is an awesome God. He's the only true and living God. And the Muslim God is a fake, phony, pagan God, regurgitated and reinstituted over the centuries and millennia. And so there, that's what you, and now we're going to actually, we're just going to throw the First Amendment out the window. We're going to throw free speech out the window, or at least we're willing to discuss it at the highest reaches of the American government. Shocking. Shocking. Meanwhile, in Egypt, according to the French press agency, last week, flyers began circulating in the town of Rafah on the Gaza Strip, demanding that the Coptic population move out. So flyers are circulating in town, telling the Christians to get out. Officials at the local Christian church informed authorities of the threats there in Gaza, the authorities there being Hamas. They informed the authorities of the threats, but no action has been taken as we go to air today. Days later, a shop belonging to one of the families, one of the Christian families, was fired on with automatic rifles. The events, according to AFP, prompted the families, these Christian families, to leave Rafah. But, now listen to this, I find this very interesting. The French press agency says there were conflicting accounts over whether the Christians had left voluntarily or been evicted. Well, if someone's circulating flyers threatening your life and shooting at your house or your church with automatic weapons, I don't think anything can be considered voluntary after that point. I think if they leave, we could say that they were evicted in fear for their lives. We have a quote, a leader of one of the Christian churches there, Father Mikhail Antoine of El Arish Church. He told the French press agency that the families moved voluntarily because they feared for their lives after threats. How can you move? How can you leave voluntarily if you're fearing for your life? It would seem to me that if you weren't fearing for your life, you'd probably stay there. But everything is becoming confused and muddled, and it's become fashionable to be afraid of the Muslims. That's right. Fear has become fashionable. Right here in America, and of course in Egypt, where they can actually blow up your house, burn it down, cut off your head, drag your children through the streets. Their fear is genuine. Their fear is palpable, I'm sure. And they have not fled their homes and their churches in any way voluntarily. Thank you very much. All right. So let's talk more about the Muslims as the whole region is bursting into flames. As Barry Ho, he could flame out, my dear. I know my prediction is that Romney is doomed, but I'm beginning to hedge my bets because, frankly, I mean, unless Barry planned this and he wants there to be some global conflict, I mean, the guy's just flaming out. And people are getting killed. And when people start getting killed, I think even the liberals will begin to take note, but perhaps not. They're all mentally deranged and suicidal. So maybe my hopes are misplaced that the liberals will actually realize that Barry is a danger to the Republic. But then again, what's our alternative? It's Mitt Romney, another pagan and a socialist and a progressive and all the worst things that you can be. But quite probably not actually a sapper who's made his way under the wire, which is what Barry may be. That's the only thing Romney's got going for him, is that he may not be plotting the destruction of America directly by violent armed conflict. And, you know, that's not a lot to have going for you, but that's where we are, folks. All right, from the Washington Times, the General Assembly convened last week, you remember, out there in New York, and several leaders of mostly Muslim nations have suggested that the world body consider sanctions on blasphemy. Blasphemy, I said, specifically as it relates to the holy prophet of Islam, Muhammad. May his name always be munificent and holy. Let's see, we have a quote here from the Turkish prime minister, whose name I choose not to pronounce. He says, I am the prime minister of a nation of which most are Muslim that has declared anti-Semitism a crime against humanity, but the West hasn't recognized Islamophobia as a crime against humanity. It has encouraged it. It really. You expect me to buy that Turkey prosecutes people for anti-Semitism? I'm sure they have a few token prosecutions every year, after which the accused is given someone's daughter and given a government job somewhere after the show trial. Anyway, according to the Washington Times, Turkey heads the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, a body of 57 nations, which has long pushed for a UN resolution condemning the defamation of religion. Well, it's nice that we have the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. At least we've got in one place the whole list of the 57 nations that we're going to have to deal with if we're not going to allow Islam to eclipse Christianity. Because that is what is happening, in my humble opinion, that Islam is on the rise and Christianity is on the decline. And I primarily blame the secular humanists. It's their fault. Well, and the Christians. I suppose I would have to blame the Christians first, since it's our religion, and we're the ones who are losing it. The secular humanists, they'll align with anybody. And apparently they've decided to align with the Muslims, oddly enough, since the Muslims will kill the secular humanists at the end of the day. In New York, last Monday, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad alluded to the film that nobody has ever seen and accused the United States and others of misusing freedom of speech and failing to speak out against the defamation of people's beliefs and divine prophets. That's a reference to Mohammed. He's a divine prophet. Pakistan's parliament passed a resolution condemning the video that no one's ever seen, including Pakistan's parliament, and demanding the nation's leaders to call on the United Nations to take action against those who made the film, at which point Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton had Mr. Nabula arrested. My name is Doug McBurney. I think I already said that at the top. Anyway, I'm getting very annoyed with this fashionable fear of Islam and the idea that we should be debating whether or not there should be criminal punishment for those who blaspheme religion. I mean, we Christians have always held, at least in my circle of friends, that there need not be any criminal punishment of blasphemy because there's going to be eternal spiritual punishment for blasphemy. And that's all well and good with us. We'll leave it in the hands of God to punish the blasphemers. We are not going to hurt you physically. All right. Now, meanwhile, while officials at the highest reaches of our government are entertaining the idea that perhaps we need to abridge free speech, at least where it pertains to the holy, eternal, what did they call him? The holy and eternal divine prophet, Muhammad, and his child brides, plural. That's in the Quran, by the way. I didn't make that up. He wrote it down. He had a penchant for young girls. Yes, he was a pedophile. Now, if this show now is aired in Egypt or Libya or Morocco or certain parts of Detroit, Michigan, there could be an eruption of violence. So I want to apologize up front for blaspheming the Holy Prophet, which is what I'm doing right now, up front in public. Now, meanwhile, while all that is going on, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a story from Yahoo in Canada. How can I be getting news from Yahoo in Canada? What's happening to the world? Oh, I see. They pulled it down off the Reuters wire. Okay, at least we've got a reasonable, although liberal and degenerate news source for this story. Dateline Washington, two Marines are facing criminal charges for urinating on the bodies of dead Taliban fighters in Afghanistan. Yes. Meanwhile, the people who killed our ambassador in Libya are smoking their hookahs and drinking tea and rearming, more than likely. Has a single military unit landed in Libya to exact revenge and punishment and destruction upon the people who killed our ambassador? By the way, last I checked, killing an American ambassador was a big deal, or it should be, requiring a military response. Anyway, that hasn't happened, but they're going to throw the book at a couple of young Marines who peed on the bodies of the guys who were just shooting at their buddies, and maybe even shot one of their buddies. Don't know the whole story on that. Anyway, Afghan President Hamid Karzai, according to Reuters, he's called the Marines' actions inhuman. Inhuman. Okay, now I'm not necessarily for urinating on the bodies of deceased radical Muslim. Well, actually, I'm fine with it. I really don't have a problem with it. I wouldn't give them a medal. I would ask them to think about it. You know, probably not the thing you want to do, because there could be some splashback. You might get it on your boots, you know? Anyway, if you're going to do it, you should at least pay attention to which way the wind is blowing. Make sure nobody has their camera phone out. Okay, boys? Anyway, he says it's inhuman. Okay, yeah, and Susan Rice said the attack in Libya was spontaneous. You're both wrong. You both should resign in shame. Let's see. The Marine Corps said back in August that three Marines pled guilty to charges over the video, but their punishment fell short of criminal prosecution. So these Marines said, well, yeah, we peed on them. And the lieutenant colonel in charge of their unit said, okay, well, don't do it again. But apparently these other two, which are non-commissioned officers, they're going to be held and prosecuted to the full extent of the law for desecrating the holy and sacred bodies of two dead Taliban fighters who had been shooting at their buddies and maybe even shot one of their buddies somewhere along the way. Anyway. I would simply ascribe this to the fog of war, or the mist of war, or something like that. Anyway, the spray of war. I wouldn't be too upset about it. I'd be much more interested in capturing and punishing those who assaulted our embassy in Libya and killed our ambassador. But we have other obligations that are on the minds of military commanders in the Middle East, apparently. All right. And now, meanwhile, while that's going on, another Reuters story, a British soldier, who did not realize she was pregnant, has given birth to a baby boy at Camp Bastion Field Hospital in Afghanistan. Okay. She didn't realize she was that. You know, this doesn't help with the stereotype about fat chicks in the army. It just really doesn't help. I know, that's really cruel. Anyway, around our house, we try to stigmatize female participation in the enlisted ranks of the military just because we want to inoculate our daughters from ever considering doing that. And so anyway, we've got a British soldier giving birth, surprise birth to a baby. Reuters reports she was unaware of the pregnancy. The Royal Artillery gunner had apparently conceived sometime before her 6-month stint there in Afghanistan. According to Lieutenant Colonel Andrea Lewis, a commanding officer of the field hospital. She said, "This is a unique occurrence, but my team is well rehearsed in the unexpected, and they adapted brilliantly to the situation." No report on how many Taliban they've managed to kill, but they adapted brilliantly to the surprise birth. That's "I'm pleased to report," she said.
But wait. If they knew, why would they adapt?
If they knew she was pregnant, well, they would have sent her back in the rear with the gear.
What?
She wouldn't have been out there.
No, I mean, would they keep the baby? Is she married?
Oh, they probably, I see what you're saying. Well, that's an interesting part of the story, is there's no mention of who the father is. There's a really good chance that not only did she not know she was pregnant, she had no idea who the father of the child was. And I don't know what they would have recommended had they found out she was pregnant. If it was early enough, I think we know what they would have recommended.
Yeah. It's probably a good thing she didn't know.
But back to Lieutenant Colonel, it's probably better that she didn't know, for crying out loud. They would have had her kill the baby. But back to Lieutenant Colonel Andrea Lewis, commanding officer of the field hospital at Camp Bastion. She says, "I am pleased to report that the mother and baby are doing well, and we are all delighted at the outcome." No need for outrage over the fact that you got some pregnant slut in the ranks. It doesn't help morale and unit cohesion when you're trying to guide in artillery fire and the chick's water breaks. I mean, that doesn't help the situation. Anyway, so no mention of father, but we do assume that even in today's gender-bending millennial military, that there is a father somewhere out there. There is a father, but he didn't make the cut to be mentioned in the story, probably because she was not capable of identifying him, which that goes to another stereotype about women in the military. But we're not gonna bring that stereotype up because it's an ugly stereotype. All right, now some more war news. This is from NBC News. Have you heard about the Jesus rifle? No, I believe we covered it on the air some time ago, but you were probably reading the newspaper. The Jesus rifle it's not actually the rifle; it's the scope on the rifle. Yeah, there's a company that makes rifle scopes. And if I've marked the story up properly, I should be able to find it without you even knowing that I'm looking for it here in the story, but apparently that's not going to happen. Anyway, Advanced Combat Optical Gun Sight is what it is. I mean, we call it a scope, but when you're selling stuff to the military, it helps to give it a really complex-sounding name because you can charge them like 5 times regular market value. So instead of calling it a rifle scope, this company calls it an advanced combat optical gun sight. Yeah. And they've been manufacturing these gun sights for some 20 years, this particular company. It's a Michigan-based manufacturer named Trijicon. They've been making they call it the ACOG, the advanced combat optical gun sight. They've been stamping Bible verses onto their gun sights for 20 years. The company's probably run by some Christian fellas. And, you know, those of us who have a fear and a respect for the living God, we love to see his word carved into stuff. It's cool. We like to do it. And the folks over at Trijicon, they've been, let's just get to the story. The Pentagon, according to NBC, ordered the removal of the secret code referring to Bible passages that Trijicon had inscribed on the scopes of the standard issue rifles carried by U.S. soldiers. This story came to light 3 years ago. But now, 3 years later, despite the military's assertion that it's making good progress in removing the codes remain on many rifles deploying to Afghanistan. Now, for those of you who were never in the military, I know that you can never criticize the military because you'll feel guilty about it. But I was in the military, and it doesn't surprise me that 3 years ago they said they would get this done, and today it's not done. Besides, they're busy shooting at the Taliban. I would give them a pass on this. The military is a giant lumbering bureaucracy, that can't hardly get anything done in peacetime. And in wartime, it's got to be even harder because you're fighting a war, too. So anyway, the codes remain. And some soldiers argue that having these Bible verses engraved on their gun sights is endangering their lives by reinforcing suspicions that the United States is waging a crusade against Muslims. I would say send them a tape of the BET Awards. Tell them we're not, this is not a crusade against anybody. We got people just shooting each other, shooting at each other backstage at an awards ceremony. We're Americans. Let's see. We have an Army officer who spoke to NBC. He said, I honestly believe this is a dangerous situation. It literally could be a matter of life and death for a soldier if he fell into the wrong hands. Yeah. Well, what if he ended up backstage at the BET Awards? That could be easily just as dangerous. You would hope he had his rifle and his Trijicon scope. Engraved, by the way, with John 8:12 is the offensive verse. John 8:12, which reads, Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Muslims went crazy. They hate hearing that. Anyway, other rifle scopes, among some quarter of a million provided by Trijicon, were imprinted with the codes to point to passages not only in John, but in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Corinthians, and Revelation. ABC News reported this back in 2010. I believe I covered it back then. Trijicon reportedly had been following this practice for at least 20 years, and it's well known to civilian gun enthusiasts who have their scopes on their rifles. Everybody knows it. Well, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation is very upset. According to NBC, they aggressively pursue the separation of church and state. They're the ones going to hell on a flaming jet rocket. I've got a quote from some bozo. Oh, his name is Mikey Weinstein.
Mikey
Weinstein. That sounds like a Jewish guy. He's got a these are all New Testament verses. Anyway, there's nothing worse than a Jew who has turned his back on his God. One of the chosen people who has chosen not to be chosen. They tend to get really bad, and Mikey Weinstein is one of them. He says, it's constitutionally noxious. It's an embarrassment, and it makes us look exactly like the 10th incarnation of the Crusades, which launches 8 million new jihadist recruiting videos. Unquote. That's Mikey Weinstein. I'm sure his mom and dad are really proud of him. Anyway. So they don't want... apparently, the Department of Defense doesn't want Trijicon's advanced combat optical gun sight in combat in the Middle East, and they don't want any Bible verses. Well, I would posit that if there's two things that are needed in that region, it's accurate rifles and Bible verses. The heat and the dust. Conservative talk as we head into the week ahead. Let's come back from the Middle East, back to the Western Hemisphere, to an enemy that's closer to us and far more dangerous. And that enemy, those enemies, are the personhood deniers. Yeah, that's what I've I've coined a term, personhood deniers. And we'll start in Uruguay. Some awful news from Uruguay. Legislators in Uruguay, which is for all of you who are graduates of the government education system, Uruguay is in Latin America. Legislators there have voted to legalize abortion in Uruguay. This is from the Associated Press. No country except Cuba has made abortions accessible to all women during the first trimester of pregnancy there in Latin America. The vote in Uruguay's Chamber of Deputies was 50-49 just before midnight last Tuesday. What's the deal with a passing pro-abortion laws in the dead of night? A very similar thing happened here in Colorado. In 1967, they passed the bill at like 2 minutes to midnight, the dark of night, and then they scurried like rats into the darkness and began butchering innocent people under color of law, I might add. Well, they've started that now in Uruguay. Several lawmakers on each side of the debate said they could not in good conscience go along with their parties, and they allowed substitutes to vote in their stead. And the bill passed and now has become law. It is now legal to murder innocent children in Uruguay. I don't understand that last part, how they allowed substitutes to vote in their stead. I'm not sure I get all that, but I'm sure Uruguay is not a paragon of efficient and good and uncorrupted government. So I'm sure you can pay someone to come in and vote for you so that you can come and say, well, I didn't vote for it. It was that guy I paid to vote. I don't know how it all works. But the bottom line is they've legalized the murder of innocent people in Uruguay, not unlike every state in the union here in America. President Jose Mujica, Uruguayan president, says he will allow the bill to become law. Deputy Pablo Abdala of the opposition National Party vowed last Wednesday to promote a popular referendum to overturn the law if Mujica doesn't veto it, calling the measure a violation of human rights. However, according to AP, polls suggest many more Uruguayans favor abortion rights than oppose them. Well, I don't understand why that matters. Because in 1849, a majority of Americans in the South thought it was okay to buy and sell black people. That has nothing to do with the debate. But the AP does mention that, because the AP, along with just about everybody in yours and my generation, have been taught to worship the voice of the people, to worship democracy. Vox populi, vox die. Something like that. Anyway, I choose not to worship democracy. And if the majority wants to murder innocent people, well, then I will oppose them. And I hope you will, too. And I hope that there will be some Americans who get involved in this battle in Uruguay. one more point from the story. Abortion rights advocates were disappointed by compromises made to secure the vote. Here are the compromises that were made to legalize the murder of innocent children in Uruguay. A requirement that a woman seeking abortions justify their request before a panel of at least three professionals, a gynecologist, a psychologist, and a social worker. That's how they used to kill crippled people in Germany. That's how they used to kill retarded people in Germany. That's how they used to kill people with physical and mental deformities. In Germany, they had a three-person panel of professional experts. This is right out of Hitler's playbook, right out of Goebbels' playbook. Also, the mother who wants to kill the baby must listen to advice about alternatives, including adoption and support services if she should decide to keep the baby. Then she must wait 5 more days to reflect on the consequences, and then she can kill the baby. So I want to say to all of you pro-life advocates in Uruguay and in suburbia in America that the day you decide you can compromise on the personhood of innocent people, you have lost the battle. And you're next, as a matter of fact. You're next. I believe I have. Yeah, listen to this. This is from the New York Post. The New York Organ Donor Network, according to a lawsuit, pressured hospital staffers to declare patients brain dead so their body parts could be harvested. And the Organ Donor Network even hired coaches to train staffers how to be more persuasive in convincing a family to sign a document stating that their loved one was brain dead so they could get in there and harvest their kidneys, their lungs, their hearts, their eyes, and whatever other usable parts might be available. So a lawsuit has been filed alleging that this federally funded nonprofit organization used a quota system and leaned heavily on the next of kin to sign consent forms when patients were not registered organ donors. Wow. Plaintiff Patrick McMahon is an Air Force combat veteran and a nurse practitioner. Claims he was fired as a transplant coordinator after just a few months when he protested the practice of coaching people to sign off on the murder of their injured relatives. In September of 2011, here's what he says. September 2011, a 19-year-old man injured in a car wreck was admitted to Nassau University Medical Center. He was still trying to breathe and showed signs of brain activities. But doctors declared him brain dead under pressure from donor network officials, including the network's director, Michael Goldstein. The patient's family consented to have the organs harvested. The plaintiff claims he was trying to breathe and had brain activity. In November 2011, a woman admitted to Staten Island University Hospital after a drug overdose was declared brain dead and her organs were about to be harvested when the plaintiff, Mr. McMahon, noticed that she was being given a paralyzing anesthetic because her body was still jerking. When he objected, other network employees told hospital personnel that McMahon was an untrained troublemaker with a history of raising frivolous issues and questions. You know, like the patient's still trying to breathe. The patient is moving her body. Frivolous. The suit said that on November 4th, McMahon told Helen Irving, president and CEO of the network, he said, one in five patients declared brain dead show signs of brain activity at the time the note is issued. So if you think you can compromise on the personhood of someone who can't speak for themselves, you're next. And you're going to get just what you deserve. Because if you consent to the murder of innocent people, you yourself are worthy of death. After, of course, being tried and convicted in a court of law. All right. Now, I have a letter to the editor from the Coloradoan. Coloradoan. What is that? This is some newspaper I've never heard of. I'm sure I've heard of it. I've probably seen it around. Anyway, this is a personhood denier, ladies and gentlemen. This is the opinion of the average moron in America today. This is why this guy, Jim Erdman, he's the reason his daughter may end up in a burqa. Here's what he says in a letter to the editor. To the Colorado. Regarding the third and again failed attempt in Colorado to define personhood at this November's election, it defies all embryological evidence that the fertilized egg stage, later blastula and morula, you know, like a mulberry, stages. It defies all embryonic evidence that at these stages what we have is a fetus. Mr. Erdman says, a fetus by definition is an unborn human baby older than 8 weeks after conception. What, did he just make that up? Or perhaps that is the obstetrics and gynecology, that very well may be their definition, because they make a lot of money killing babies. Did you know that OBGYNs working in hospitals and private clinics kill way more babies than Planned Parenthood? Yeah, they do. So I'm sure ACOG, no relationship, by the way, to the Jesus Rifle people. I want to clear that up. ACOG is the American Conference of Obstetrics and Gynecology. Not to be confused with the Advanced Combat Optical Gun Sight. because the ACOG has killed way more people than has the Advanced Combat Optical Gun Sight. So let's not confuse the two. ACOG very well may have a definition that a fetus is an unborn baby older than 8 weeks because they want to kill the babies, Mr. Erdman. But that's not my definition, and that's not any honest scientific definition. And it's certainly not God's definition, you heathen scum. Let's continue with Mr. Erdman's letter to the editor. I'm starting, my blood pressure's rising. I apologize, ladies. All the ladies in the audience, I apologize if I've scared you. Mr. Erdman goes on, a friend and retired medical doctor sent this to me. Quote, if someone else could nurture that fetus, then maybe he or she would have some jurisdictional rights. The woman does have personhood rights. The fetus cannot, in my view, be defined as a person until it's born. Then it can be welcomed into human society and nurtured by the society. All right. First of all, Mr. Erdman, I'm not impressed with your friend and retired medical doctor. I don't know if he spent a 30-year career butchering innocent babies, frankly. And I like how he has this caveat. The fetus cannot, in my view, be defined as a person. Okay. Well, send a message back to your friend and retired medical doctor that God is going to bring that caveat up on Judgment Day. Tell your friend he should be prepared to hear that again someday. And how is it that a medical doctor could say with a straight face that if we decide not to butcher the child and rip its arms and legs off or burn it with acid or chop it into pieces, well, then we can welcome it into human society and we can nurture it. Mr. Erdman continues, Next, we'll hear from those who haven't got the majority's message that an egg or a sperm is a person. This indeed part of a society that considers intelligent, independent, and progressive women as threatening. Mr. Erdman, nobody's saying that an egg or a sperm is a person. We know what an egg is. We know what a sperm is. You apparently don't because you use the term fertilized egg, which there's no such thing as a fertilized egg, you blithering moron. There's no such thing. That's just a pet peeve of mine, okay? I know I probably obsess over that too much. But, you know, to me, it's like calling a Jew an Untermensch. You know, you're calling it something other than what it is so you can dehumanize them and kill them. And this fertilized egg, to me, is similar. So it bothers me. Mr. Erdman concludes, Albert Einstein was correct when he said, quote, only two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity. And that's the end of Mr. Erdman's letter to the editor denying the personhood of innocent people. By the way, Albert Einstein, I don't know if he ever said that the universe was infinite, because that's not true. And I think that Einstein probably knew that, but I'm not going to question Mr. Erdman's Einstein comment. And Mr. Erdman, I would say that indeed you have proven the axiom that there is no limit to human stupidity, particularly in your case. Right, folks, and I just want to say that we are coming back in Colorado. We've already filed a lawsuit. Well, I say we, the proponents of the personhood of all innocent humans, have filed a lawsuit to get on the ballot in Colorado either this year or next. Having been hornswoggled and finagled and ripped off and robbed and abused and brutalized by Planned Parenthood and the ACLU with their lawsuits, we think we've got a pretty good shot at convincing a judge that having been robbed of the time to gather the signatures we needed, we should get one more shot. And I think any reasonable judge will see that and will allow that to happen. The hard part is going to be to find a reasonable judge. That's going to be the challenge. But the lawsuit, The challenge has been filed. We'll see you heathens in court. All right. Now, earlier this week, I heard many of the Limbots going on and on about the fact that France has come up with a 75% tax rate on people earning €1 million or more per year. They were all the Limbots were talking about it. If you switched AM radio stations between talk shows, it was as if they were all reading from the same script. This 75% tax rate was at the top of all their radar screens. Meanwhile, at the top of my radar screen was something completely different going on in France. France, according to the Telegraph newspaper in London, is set to ban the words mother and father from all official government documents. Now, the Limbots may have missed this story, but this is far more of a threat to the survival of Western civilization than whatever the tax rate is on whatever millionaires are still stupid enough to be living in France. According to the Telegraph, the draft law states that marriage is a union of two people of different or the same gender. Just unbelievable. I laugh only to keep my head from exploding, ladies and gentlemen. The new law says all references to mothers and father in the civil code, which enshrines French law, will be swapped for the term parents. Just parents. The law would also give equal adoption rights to queers and normal people. Justice Minister Christiana Tabrida... All right. Justice Minister Christiane Taubira told France's Catholic newspaper La Croix, which means the cross, she said, "Who is to say that a homosexual couple will bring up a child better than a heterosexual couple, or homosexual better than heterosexual, or heterosexual better than homosexual? Who is to say? Who is to say? Who is to say that they will guarantee the best conditions for the child's development? Who is anyone to say anything about anyone? Can we really know anything at all? What is this? What? You want me to put on the burqa? I must put on the burqa now? I'll tell you what, lady. I'll tell you who is going to say it. Is the Muslims who overrun your pathetic country. They're going to say it. Christians are surrendering the battlefield. We surrendered it to the secular humanists, thinking that we could all just get along. But the secular humanists are killing our children, and the Muslims are going to conquer our nations. I'm not calling for a crusade. I'm simply calling for Christians to stand up and speak the truth when maniacs, these people are mentally deranged maniacs, to ban the term mother and father. I mean, you should be put in a straitjacket and taken to a mental hospital. And she's a justice minister, for crying out loud. She says, "What is certain is that the interest of the child is a major preoccupation for the government." Unquote. Okay, that's the problem, is that the concern about the welfare of children is a preoccupation with the government, and it doesn't seem to be a preoccupation with parents anymore. I feel like I can't even go out in public. My extremely attractive audio engineer and I, today, we tried to stop at a burger joint after church just to get some nourishment. And everyone who walked into that place was more of a freak than the last person. And a lot of them had kids, along with their tattoos and facial piercings and vulgar, disgusting T-shirts that we had to literally shield our children's eyes. Literally, I had to stand between my 11-year-old daughter and a deviant pervert freak with his T-shirt. He's lucky I didn't just pistol whip him right there. Unbelievable. What we've decided to tolerate. Now my blood pressure's getting up, and I'm scaring the women again. The justice minister told the Christian... I'm back to France now. Let me make a very awkward segue. Back to the story from France, banning the words father and mother. The justice minister told the Christians RFC radio station... there are some people in France apparently trying to stand up. And one of them is the head of the French Catholic Church, Cardinal Philippe Barbarin. He told a radio interview, he said, gay marriage would herald a complete breakdown in society. And that's fine for this cardinal to say that. But I think we're at the point now where you need to say it and then slap the other person across the face because this is ridiculous. Oh, I already said that I didn't advocate violence. And look, now I'm advocating slapping governing officials across the face. All right. Okay, maybe we hit him across the face with a Bible. I don't know. Back to the story. Pope Benedict invited 30 French bishops to Italy to urge them to fight against the new law. Well, hopefully Pope Benedict will get the Catholic Church together, because this kind of deviancy and corruption, when the church stands up and says no more, we can stop it. And I'm not even a Catholic, but I'm with the Catholics on the fact that you can't ban the word mother and father, and you can't let queers marry each other, for crying out loud. Yeah, I know. This is the same Catholic Church. So Pope Benedict says we have a true challenge that we have to take on. So Pope, come here. Take off your hat. Sit down. Listen. Your same Catholic Church has abided the killing of innocent people for a generation. And now you want to draw the line on mothers and fathers and queers adopting and homosexual marriage? You've already lost the war, Pope Benedict. You need to go back to the original line of scrimmage, which was back at killing innocent children. We need to go back there, and then we can fight these battles. I know. I should run for Pope, for crying out loud. President François Hollande pledges in his manifesto to legalize homosexual marriage in France. The draft law will be presented to his cabinet for approval on Halloween. And I'm not making that up. On Halloween, he's going to submit his manifesto to destroy Western Europe by unleashing sexual immorality, deviancy, and perversion upon the people like it's never been seen before since the last days of Rome, last days of Berlin. All right, from the Justice File, I got to hurry up, folks. We're running out of time. A former staffer to the San Francisco Human Rights Commission, this is from the San Francisco Chronicle, this former staffer at the Human Rights Commission in San Francisco has pled not guilty to 6 felony counts of possessing and distributing, right? We all know, child pornography, of course. It's a homosexual activist. What do they get arrested for? Either beating up their boyfriend or possessing and distributing child porn. Pretty predictable. This guy's name is Larry Binkin. He's 66 years old, and on his computer they found images of children under the age of 3 years old. Yeah. Allegedly. Binkin, according to the San Francisco Chronicle, Binkin helped craft San Francisco's equal benefits According to the San Francisco Chronicle, Binkin helped craft the city's equal benefits ordinance. The equal benefits ordinance. It became a national model for workplace equality for homosexual men and lesbians. When he retired, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors declared the week of February 1st, 2010, as Larry Binkin Week. Larry Binkin Week. We want to get his name right because we're going to want to track him down on Judgment Day, too. Larry Binkin, homosexual activist. If convicted in San Francisco, he faces up to 6 years and 4 months in a state prison for defiling and abusing children under the age of 3. He might get 6 years. You know the reasons Christians don't go out and lynch people like this? You know the reason we don't go burn his house down and chop his head off? Is because we know that our God is real and there will be justice in the life to come. So we don't have to worry about Mr. Brinken escaping justice. He will get justice. And it's not our place to execute it upon him outside of the due process of law. Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, in Delaware has been, this according to the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, of which I am a member, I and my extremely attractive audio engineer, both members, lifetime members. Delaware has become the first state in the nation to effectively outlaw corporal discipline of children by their parents. New legislation creates a definition of the term physical injury in the child abuse and neglect law. That's right. They've changed the definition of physical injury to include pain. So if you inflict pain on your child, now it's considered physical injury. Currently, the law permits a parent to use force to punish a child, but it prohibits any act that's likely to cause or does cause physical injury. By defining physical injury to include the infliction of pain on a child, spanking has become a crime in Delaware punishable by imprisonment. That's right. Under the new law, a parent causing pain to a child under 18 would be guilty of a Class A misdemeanor and subject to 1 year in prison. A parent causing pain to a child who is 3 years of age or younger would be guilty of a Class G felony. Did you hear that, baby? We're felons. If you don't inflict pain on your child by the time they're 3 years old, you have lost the ability to properly train and discipline and educate your child. I shouldn't say you've lost it. You've undermined it dramatically. I think I probably shouldn't talk about the first time we inflicted pain on our children. By the way, it was by flicking their fingers with our fingers. That was it, which could be considered pain, which makes me a felon. I should go hang out at the MTV Award. Was it MTV? No, it was BET. Go hang out backstage at the BET Awards with all the other felons. Anyway, Homeschool Legal Defense Association opposed this bill. Folks, if you're not a member of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, they are a good organization. They're one of the last bastions of sanity on the planet. And they're going to file a suit, and they're going to try and stop this insanity. So we'll have to send them an extra donation this month, my dear. All right. And meanwhile, as the world burns down around us, as the forces of darkness threaten Western civilization like at no time since the Muslims invaded Spain, here's what's happening in Ocala, Florida. School officials in Marion County are talking about bringing the practice of paddling children back to the public schools. The principal at Ocala Shady Hill Elementary, Carol Eli is a new school board member. She was the principal at Ocala Shady Hill Elementary for 14 years, where she administered corporal punishment. She said it worked, and she wants to bring it back. She says it was effective the way we implemented it. We only did it on very small occasions, but it was for the children who were chronic misbehaviors. Well, see, here's someone who's not qualified to administer corporal punishment because she doesn't know how to do it. You don't do it only in the rare cases of the most hardened kids. You administer corporal punishment across the board early and fairly, consistently. And that way you don't have to be giving them licks when they're 14 years old. The Marion County School Board brings the paddling initiative up for a vote this fall. Eli said it'll only be used as a last resort with parental permission. Okay, well, just get out of here. You're unqualified. This is why you shouldn't send your kids to the public schools, because the people running the school boards and the schools are unqualified to raise children. And you, ladies and gentlemen, you may not think you're qualified, but you are. Okay? And you could call me. Send me an email. I'll tell you what to do. I'll help you out. Yes, I do consider myself something of an expert. At least to this point. I'm always willing to learn. All right. Bill Nye, this is from the Science, really, file. Bill Nye, star of the popular 1990s TV show Bill Nye the Science Guy, waded into the evolution debate last month with an online video that urged parents not to pass their religious-based doubts about evolution onto their children. Here's what Bill says. The Earth is not 6,000 or 10,000 years old. It's not. This is not. And if that conflicts with your beliefs, I strongly feel you should question your beliefs. Okay, Mr. Nye, I was hoping that there would be some argument that he would put in his statement of what gives him the idea that the world is not 6 or 10,000 years old. But here's his logic. It's not. It's just not. That's Bill Nye, the Science Guy. Well, it's not. It's just not. And anyway, Mr. Nye, if the whole universe and life is just a cosmic chemical accident, what do you care what we tell our children? Can't one chemical biological accident tell another chemobiological accident anything we want? Why should it matter, Mr. Nye? Are you implying there's morality? Because you can't be borrowing God's stuff, Mr. Nye, and then denying him. Okay? You heathen scum. See, they always borrow. They breathe. They eat. They enjoy life. They get married. They have children. They fall in love. And then they deny God. And without God, none of that's possible, you idiots. You always borrow his stuff, and then you mock him. I'm reading a book by a Professor Lyle over at Answers in Genesis. And he says it's like these atheists, these evolutionists, they're like a child sitting on his father's lap, slapping and cursing at their father. And they couldn't even reach him if they weren't sitting on his very lap. You ignorant, filthy heathens. So here's what Mr. Nye says in conclusion. If we raise a generation of students who don't believe in the process of science, who think everything that we've come to know about nature and the universe can be dismissed by a few sentences translated into English from some ancient text, you're not going to continue to innovate, Mr. Nye said. Okay. First of all, Mr. Nye, we're not denying the process of science, you ignorant, stupid heathen. In fact, the science is on our side, Mr. Nye. And there's countless examples that we could give you, but you don't care because you are worshiping in your own religious temple of atheism and pseudoscience, Mr. Nye. You're a liar. And by the Christian standard, you should be punished, and you should be the one who should be kept away from children. But by your own evolutionary standard, there's no reason for any of us to judge anyone or care what anyone teaches their children. Because it's all just 6 feet under and dirt in your face at the end, and everything was just an accident. So sit down and shut up unless you want to be consistent with your own worldview and admit that we can't know anything and nothing matters. You know, from about 1750 to 1950, Mr. Nye, the science guy, PBS. That's not even real television. Anyway, Mr. Nye, from 1750 until 1950, when Christians and creationism were the majority view among scientists, there were a few important innovations, Mr. Nye. And what technical innovation of the last 50 or 60 years, Mr. Nye, requires evolution as a foundation? If you can tell me, if you can name me one, Mr. Nye, I might not slap you in the face. That would be your only reward, is not to get slapped. See, there I am threatening violence again. And I said I wouldn't do that. Well, you people are pushing me too far. All right. Let's go real quickly here because we're running out of time. We're not running out of time. We've gone long. But wait. Buffalo, Minnesota. Wade Murray is accused. This is a guy named Wade Murray in Buffalo, Minnesota. This is from CBS News there. Wade Murray is accused of breaking doors and throwing rocks through a stained glass window at six churches last weekend. Police say the 30-year-old also left behind offensive messages and posters about religion and homosexuality. Yeah, Pastor Rod Jarvis of Hosanna Lutheran Church found the disturbing posters last Monday with broken glass, and it was an ugly scene. Police believe that Wade Murray, the offender, acted alone, and officers say Murray explained to them that he was motivated to commit these acts due to his anger with God over personal issues. Got some personal issues. Police say that one of the police officers said, quote, "This seems to be a guy who needs help," unquote. Okay, and I agree with the police officer. This appears to be a guy who needs help. But one pastor whose church was vandalized said this, quote, "I would like for him to know in Jesus, there is forgiveness." Okay, so here we've got another pastor. Before this punk even says he's sorry for vandalizing the church and leaving filthy literature behind, before the offender even says he's sorry, this pastor's already offering to forgive him. So another unqualified pastor, he should join Bill Nye, the science guy, in the unemployment line and try to find a new line of work. It's just embarrassing. Don't offer people forgiveness until they repent and admit they were wrong. Otherwise, you've taken away the power of repentance. guy's a pastor. All right, finally, from CNN. Despite his public opposition to same-sex marriage, Arnold Schwarzenegger presided over two ceremonies of homosexual couples while he was the governor of California. That's what he told 60 Minutes in an interview to air later on today, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Schwarzenegger opposed legalizing homosexual marriage in his state. He even vetoed a bill that would have legalized it. But he presided over two homosexual weddings. Personally, he said, "I personally always said that marriage is between a man and a woman. And perhaps a girlfriend or two, and possibly a housekeeper. But maybe, you know, I'm open to ideas on this subject. But I would never enforce my will upon people. If they want to get married, let them get married. If they want to have a housekeeper, have a housekeeper. If you need a girlfriend or two or three, who am I to impose my values on anyone? I don't have to be for gay marriage. I'm for sure that when I supervised the wedding of my chief of staff, I just wanted her to get the same kind of wedding, the same kind of ceremony that I had when I got married to Maria Shriver."
Unquote. That was awful. That was probably one of my worst impressions ever. But I'm not going to edit it out because it is what it is, folks. What you see is what you get. What you hear is what you get. Here at the Weekly Worldview, I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com on AM 670 KLTT. The 50,000-watt blowtorch for the gospel of the Rocky Mountains. I want to thank my friends at Denver Bible Church and American Right to Life. And, of course, as always, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, I will be back with you next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.